May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On this last Sunday after Trinity, I've chosen the readings for Bible Sunday as the Bible is the theme for our diocese for the coming year. This is the day when we recognise the centrality and importance of the Word of Scripture in defining who we are as a community of faith. Today, as our collect reminds us, we reflect on what it means to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest that Word, and have our lives individually and as a community defined by it and changed by it. Of course, children often remember the Bible a little differently to adults. In a teacher's magazine a few years ago, some teachers sent in what some of their children had written in their exams. The Egyptians all drowned in the desert. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus enunciated the golden rule, which was, do one to others before they do one to you. Seriously though, as we know, the Bible is a book that consistently heads the world's bestseller lists. Why is this? In the prologue to his book, The Bible for Grown-Ups, which I can highly recommend, Simon Loveday writes, if you're a regular listener to Radio 4, you can't have avoided the programme Desert Island Discs. A famous personality is shipwrecked on an imaginary island and asked to choose their 8 favourite records or CDs. At the end, they're offered one luxury and one book in addition to the Bible and Shakespeare. These two books are felt to need no justification. One is by an author universally acknowledged to be among the greatest dramatists and poets who ever lived. But the other is, well, what exactly? Is it a work of faith? Then what use is it to atheists or to believers in another, a different faith? Is it a work of philosophy, a guide to life? If so, then what's the philosophy it puts forward? What are we to make of its frequent condemnation of non-believers? Is it Christian or Jewish? Is it a set of beliefs, a framework of moral rules, or just a collection of stories and poems? He then goes on to talk about childish ways of engaging with it and how it should be appreciated and approached by adults. He says that what he's trying to do is help intelligent adults to make sense of the Bible, a book that's too large to swallow whole, yet too important in our history and culture to spit out. He says that he aims to help us read the Bible with our brains in gear. I found his book very enlightening. So with our brains in gear, what can we learn from today's readings which help us to understand the importance of the Scriptures? Firstly, from Isaiah. I am God and there is no other. From my mouth has gone forth a word that shall not return. And then in a later chapter, it shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Just hear the confidence in those words. God's word is for the world, for everyone, including the large percentage of the population who won't be in church this morning. It's a word of invitation, of comfort, of hope, of wisdom, of discipline, rebuke and warning. A word of love to a lost world. I'm reminded of all the words I said to my children when they were growing up. Why did I say them? Out of love and concern that they should be equipped and prepared for the world in which they lived. So God's word in the Scriptures is for all people loved by him like a parent. Life has been described as a dangerous journey from life to death. Knowing that there's a book that can help us understand and survive it, Shouldn't we be eager to read it? Paul explains in more detail in his letter to the Romans. God's word was written for our instruction so that by steadfastness and encouragement we might have hope. That is in the God of steadfastness and encouragement. This has never been more important than today, living as we do in a climate of unbelief. Where the media does nothing to encourage faith, I believe the Bible helps us to understand who we are and how we are part of God's purpose on earth. We need God in order to be complete and fully human. However, although the Bible informs and illuminates our relationship with God, it isn't a substitute for a living faith. We're called to go out there and put the word into practice. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good to edify him, says Paul. It's only when we're grappling with what it means to be a follower of Jesus that the Bible really comes alive, doesn't it? The scriptures can resonate with us, but how will we know unless we read them and apply them to our own situation? Jesus applied the scriptures to his own situation in the reading from Luke's Gospel. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is his purpose and meaning spelt out clearly: to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Remember, this is Jesus fresh from the wilderness, filled with the power of the Spirit and at the start of his ministry. We think about what happens when the Word of God, our Creator, is brought to life in human form as Jesus reveals himself to be the fulfillment of God's words spoken through his prophets and recorded in Scripture. It was through the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus, fully human, came to understand his destiny as Messiah in the culture of the day. In the synagogue, his reading confirmed what he heard at his baptism. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. It was also through these scriptures that he explained himself to his disciples. On the road to Emmaus, he interpreted to them the things written about himself in the scriptures. I spent last weekend in Hereford, having a 50-year since we graduated reunion with college friends. In the cathedral, I picked up a leaflet written by Donald Coggan, who some of you might remember was Archbishop of Canterbury in the 70s. It's called My Debt to the Bible and gives some very helpful insights. I'd like to quote him. Often beyond the full grasp of human comprehension, he says, great and basic ideas are wrestled with in these pages. Election and predestination, sin and salvation, life and death, heaven and hell, church and world, God, Christ, Holy Spirit. Here are subjects which have occupied the minds of great people, men and women, not content to live life on the animal level of satisfaction of temporal desires, but desirous of stretching mind and spirit almost to breaking point, if truth can thereby be found. High-sounding words, but if we really want to stretch our minds beyond the everyday and find out why we're here, where we're going, and what makes us tick, then reading the Bible will bring us to the truth. Within its pages, we find that all aspects of human life are revealed, from songs of poetry and love, celebration and grief, to political and spiritual commentary on the behavior of nations and leaders, from wisdom, philosophy, and law, to accounts of people encountering God and becoming his voice in the world, from records of the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus, to descriptions and letters covering the early struggles and successes of the early church. The common thread that links all these together is that all life has been created by a God who is there and active in the world, who loves this world and wants to make himself known, who gets involved with us in our hopes and struggles and wants us to work with him. Through reading the Bible, we see that there's far more to the world, more to us, more to what we see and more to what we don't see, more to everything than we had ever dreamed, and that this more has to do with God. But it's not an easy read, is it? Beyond the familiar and comforting words we know by heart, where do we start to get a grip on the Bible as a whole? Donald Coggan gives us some useful pointers. Often there are difficulties because people don't know where to begin, he says. They start at Genesis and soon find themselves in a world of ideas wholly foreign to them. They would be better to begin with one of the four Gospels, which tell of the life and teaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For example, the Gospel of Luke. Then they could go on to watch the young, lively church in action, the Acts of the Apostles, and from there to the letters, which give a slant of the writers on the great events which had recently happened in the Holy Land and which were to shake the world. And when they've done that, they may feel the need to understand something of the background against which these writings came down to us, the scriptures which Jesus himself read and pondered. And so they will begin to have a look at the Old Testament. Here it might be best to begin with some of the writings of the prophets, towering figures who had words of immense importance for the men and women of their day. So that's quite a helpful framework. The Gospel of Luke, the Acts of the Apostles, the letters, then the Old Testament and the prophets. It's a good way to start. The majority of people have never looked into the treasures of the Bible. How can we help people to read and understand the Word of God? I think that the most powerful draw towards faith is the example of a life of faith, nourished by worship, prayer, Bible reading, and fellowship together. In other words, we are God's chosen means of bringing his Word, the Bible, to life in our communities. We need to let the blueprint of God's living Word dwell so deeply in our hearts and souls that it manifests itself in the outward patterns of our lives. After all, God gave us the Bible not just to inform us, but to transform us. I'm asking myself, how are the scriptures fulfilled in my life, in the sight and hearing of those around me day by day? Jesus was able to say, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Will he be able to say this about our lives? Amen.